Amen. Often when we think about the cross, we think about so many of those elements that we meditated on this evening. We think about the Last Supper. We think about Jesus going to the Garden of Gethsemane and praying and calling upon his disciples to pray with him. We think about, while he was there, the arrest that took place. We think about how he was taken to the high priest's palace and underwent 3 terrible religious trials. Trials in which they shouted at him and they beat him, and he was innocent. And then we think about how he was then dragged off to the Gentiles, the Romans, and how he was first tried by Pilate. Then he was taken back to Herod, and finally delivered again to Pilate, who then gave his verdict, his condemnation, and that leading to Jesus' crucifixion. We have this story, and often this is what we think about, but there's so much more to this story. This story goes back even before the beginning of time, before the foundation of the world. The story is a picture of God's love. In fact, a lot of people in our world around us have a very wrong idea about who God is. Some people think about him purely in terms of being vindictive and angry. But actually, God is a God of love and grace and mercy, and for all eternity lived in perfect harmony within the Holy Trinity. Perfect love of the Father for the Son for the Holy Spirit for the Father. And we're told in the scriptures that this whole creation was made as a gift from the Father to the Son. It says in Hebrews 1:2 that Jesus is the heir of all things. We were made, this world was made, as a gift from the Father to the Son. Yet even within this context, we know that God made us, human beings, to live in right relationship with himself. God placed human beings in a garden, this beautiful garden, where they could interact with him. This garden was a temple. It was the place where God dwelled with people. It was the meeting place between God and man, and people could live with him in perfect harmony, and they could experience the fullness of his self-giving love in that beautiful garden. God had this one desire for all of the human race. It was to flourish. It was to grow. It was to spread out over all the earth. It was to spread the glory of God that it would cover the land as the waters cover the sea. That was his intention. Yet it was in that garden that human beings rebelled against God. They set up camp against him, and as a result of that rebellion of that one man, all of us then were now caught up in his rebellion. We were now all inextricably tied to what he did. This is what we call the doctrine of original sin. Every one of us inherited Adam's guilt because we are in Adam's family. And because of that, the whole human race launched into rebellion against God. But God, even seeing this, was so merciful that he promised in the midst of that bleakness a redeemer. In fact, we read it in Genesis 3:15. It says, God addressed this to the serpent. He said, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. And so the rest of the Bible is really the story of the struggle between the two seeds, the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. The seed of the woman would culminate in a savior of the world. And the woman's offspring look forward to that. But on the other hand, there was the seed of the serpent, and that's everyone who sets themselves up against God. And so the rest of the story, we see this battle between Satan and God's work in the world. There were many times where this seed, the woman's seed, was almost extinguished. In fact, we trace the Bible, the story of the Bible, from Adam and Eve's son Seth to Noah, from Noah's son Shem to Abraham, from Abraham to David, and then finally from David to Jesus. But it wasn't as simple as that. As most of you know, the whole human race had turned wicked, went into rebellion against God. And as a result of it, God was going to destroy the entire world, everything that he had made, but there was one righteous man. His name was Noah, and because God is a God of mercy, the human race continued through Noah. And then the line kind of hit a logjam in Abraham, and Abraham was an old man, and his wife was beyond childbearing years, and he was supposed to carry on the seed of the woman. But he didn't have an heir. But God miraculously provided him with a son. The human race, the line of the woman was almost snuffed out again in the life of Boaz. Boaz was carrying the seed of the woman. And Boaz didn't have an heir. And God provided a wife from the most unexpected of places. A widow from Moab became his wife. And the line continued. And then one of his descendants was David. And there were a number of occasions where the seed almost died with him. When he was a young man, as many of you know, he fought with probably the greatest warrior in the known world at that time, Goliath. Everyone assumed that David would have been wiped out, and if David would have been wiped out, the whole line, the promised Messiah, would have ended. But miraculously, David won that battle. And then there was King Saul, who was after David, and time again, he tried to kill David, but God protected David. He preserved the line. And finally, baby Jesus was born. And Satan went after him. You know the story about Herod and how he tried to kill all of the baby boys in Bethlehem. But again, he escaped. And so this battle has raged for millennia, this battle between the serpent's offspring and the seed of the woman. And time again, every time Satan thought that he was close to victory, he was defeated. And then there came a moment in time where Satan finally thought it was his opportunity to destroy the work of God, to kill the ultimate seed of the woman. And Jesus went to a cross, and when he went to that cross, it was at the cross that he had victory over Satan. It was in his death. Satan thought that he had won when he had Jesus put on that cross, but actually it was at that cross that he was defeated. Satan doesn't understand the mind of God. In fact, we know that, just as we said a moment ago, that all of us, being related to Adam, inherited Adam's sin, and we were all fallen because of that. In fact, we're not sinners simply because we sin. We sin because we are by nature sinners. And so God saw us in that hopeless condition. He saw us under the just condemnation that we deserve for our sin. And what God did in that moment was he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to be a sacrifice for us. We say to ourselves, how could that be fair? How is that fair that we all could inherit Adam's sin? That we could be deemed culpable for what he did. We read in Romans 5:12, it says this: therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men. Why? Because all sinned. We all sinned in Adam. Well, how is this possible? On December 6th, 1941, when we think about that day was probably a normal day. If you ask the average American how they felt about Japan, probably the average American would have said that they thought well of Japan. And if you would have asked the average Japanese person on December 6, 1941, what they thought of America, they probably would have liked America and Americans. But then on December 7th, 1941, a day that Franklin Delano Roosevelt said will live in infamy, a group of fighter planes flew into Honolulu, Hawaii, and attacked our fleet that was docked there. And some of our ships were sank, and many of our men were killed, and we all understood what that meant, or at that time they understood what that meant. For those living in this country, we saw ourselves as victims of an unprovoked attack. And we didn't think of it just as an attack by a few on a few of our people, but we felt that it was an attack by an entire nation upon our entire nation. And by the same token, the enemy didn't look at us as simply a people that only a few of us were attacked. They looked at us as a nation that they attacked together. And so we engaged in a war. And that's what kicked off World War II, as you know, for us was that moment. You see, in this event, even though it was an action by a few toward a few, all of us on both sides were now part of it, part of the conflict. And in the same way, this is what happened in Adam. When Adam turned his back on God, we as his offspring, we now suffer with the same contagion that he passed throughout the whole human race. When he made war on God, so the whole human race was at war with God. But God, in his infinite grace and mercy, did something extraordinary. He decided to send a new head of the human race. God is a God who is just. He is the personification of justice. He is justice through and through, and because of that, he must punish wrongdoing. Yet God is a merciful God, and he's a God of grace. And so he devised a way to save us where he sent his son, Jesus, to be a new head of humanity. Just as Adam was a head of humanity, so Jesus came as a perfect representative of all people. And when he came, he went to the cross, and when he died on the cross, he died for his people. And so the scriptures tell us that if we place our faith and trust in Jesus, if we believe that he died on the cross for us, if we turn from our sin and turn to him, he takes away our sin, our rebellion, our wickedness, and in its place he gives us his righteousness, and he makes us new, not on the basis of anything that we have done, but solely on the basis of what he's done for us. And so it's with this we read these words. In 5:18 and 19, it says this: "Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all people, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous." One man's sin led to disobedience. One man's disobedience led to a whole race of humanity cut off from God. But another man's obedience led to life. And God is giving us the opportunity to come to him in faith and to be transferred from that old family in Adam and into his new family of Christ, and then experience what it means to be in right relationship with God forever and ever. On September 2nd, 1945, the Japanese sent a delegation to board the USS Missouri, and there they met General MacArthur. General MacArthur, he represented the United States. And the delegation from Japan represented all of Japan. They sued for peace And the two nations there, embodied in the representatives of the two nations, they found peace. And the nations from there on after that lived in peace together. In our case, there was no way that we could do anything that could bring peace. We were the instigators. But what Jesus did was he came. He, as our representative, he had the ability to take on our sin, and he, as one who is fully God, had the ability to pay for our sin, and he went to a cross so that we could finally be free from our sin. It is through him that we make peace with God. It is through him that we can be reconciled to God. Have you been reconciled to God? When you think about your life, you ever go through your life and you reflect on things you've done and you wonder to yourself, can God really forgive me for that? I want you to know, yes. And how do we know? Because of the cross. Because what he did on the cross. Those times when we reflect on the things we've seen, the places we've gone, the conversations we've had, and we hear those thoughts of condemnation. What the cross means for us is not condemnation, but life and peace and hope. No matter what it is, no matter what burden we might be bringing, we have a Savior who has the power to take it away from you, the power to give you new life, the power to make you a new person from the inside out. But there was only one way to do it, and that was for his Son to bear our sin on the tree of judgment, on the cross, and there he paid for our sins. Have you come to a place where you've trusted him? Have you come to a place where you've taken him all your shame, all your burdens, all your brokenness? You can come to the cross. No one who trusts in him will be put to shame. Have you trusted in him? If so, no more shame for you. And if you haven't, it is never too late to leave the Adams family and join the family of Christ. Let's pray.